appreciate the flowers down here. They're just so beautiful. A lot of flowers this time of year. You won't believe me, but when I came back from Bolivia in May of 2000, I weighed about 149 and a half pounds. And I was assigned my first church district, an English church, a bilingual church, and a Spanish church. El Paso, Texas, 80% of the population is of Spanish descent. And I started to do visiting, and as I visited, I could not leave a home without eating. They would feed me. They would say, "Pastor, you got to try this." And I would say, "My wife has food at home. She's waiting for me." "Oh, no, no, no. Take a little bit for her, too." So I would eat. Food is an essential part of life. So pray with me as we start this morning, the bread of life. Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for being with us here this morning. I pray now that your Holy Spirit will possess our mind. Lord, I pray that you'll fill me with your Spirit so that your words may feed your people this morning. We ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible presents a bread that will not make you fat, a bread that will not make you go and buy a whole new wardrobe, a bread that will not make you buy a new bed. I don't know, many things. The Bible gives us the description of the bread of life. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 6. Let me set the scene for you here. Jesus has been preaching, and I'm actually reading it from the New King James this morning, so don't get thrown off. The New King James this morning. We're looking at John chapter 6. Let me set the scene. Jesus has been preaching. People have been coming out. They're listening to him. As a matter of fact, they have been listening to him for quite a bit. And all of a sudden, people start realizing, hey, you know what? It's been a while since we ate. As a matter of fact, people are saying, hey, we're really hungry. As a matter of fact, Jesus' disciples come to him and say, hey, listen, the people are, you know, they've been hearing you for a while. They're getting hungry. So Jesus says to them, well, go get them some food. The disciples say, well, where are we going to find food? We're talking about 5,000 people. So a couple of his disciples go and find a little boy, and this little boy has some fish and some, somebody should have said amen. The little boy has some fish. All right, there we go. A little bit of bread. They find him. All right, there we go. They bring this kid over to Jesus. He gives up his food. Jesus takes that food, prays to the Father. The Father multiplies those fish and that bread to the point where over 5,000 people eat. There's stuff left over. They collect baskets after the fact. After that, Jesus casually walks on the water to the other side of the river, or the other side of the lake. His disciples encounter a storm. He's just walking. He goes through. Now let's pick up the story on verse 22. So we're on John chapter 6, beginning with verse 22. I'm reading this morning again from the New King James. John chapter 6, 22 says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. So they gone away alone. Jesus is now in the boat, you know, walking in the water. He gets to the other side. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Verse 26, Jesus answered to them and he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Did you catch that? 5,000 people have been fed. They have seen a miraculous sign, a little basket, has multiplied to feed over 5,000 people. Jesus has walked across on the lake. His disciples have gone on the boat. The people have seen that Jesus was not on the boat, but now they see him on the other side. They ask him, "How did you get here?" He answers to them, "You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate. You put free food, and especially good free food, people show up. People show up. They're there. They're wanted." Jesus says to them, "You only seek me because I fed you." Verse 27, he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." So he's saying to them, "Listen, I fed you. Yes, I fed you a little bit, but listen, I got something better for you. I got something that's going to give you eternal life." He continues to say, "Which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What works we do that we may work the works of God?" In other words, what can we do to get that? Man, what can we? I want to make sure I have that. I'm tired of this fish and this bread. I want the real stuff. I don't want to be hungry anymore. That's what they're saying. What can we do? Jesus, 29, answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent him." So he's saying to them, if you want that bread, if you want that eternal life, you must believe on the one that he sent. Who is he talking about? He's talking about himself. Therefore, he said to them, therefore they said to him, so now they turn around and say, "Well, listen, what sign will you do, or will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you?" What work will you do? This is an expression that is very common in the book of John. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of John, you will see it all over the place. People asking Jesus, "What sign are you going to do? What are you going to perform?" As a matter of fact, you know, they're so stuck in that mentality that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, what are they saying? "Let him come down from the cross, then we will believe." So they're saying, "Jesus, what are you going to do that we may believe?" And then they say, "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So this is all about food. Jesus has fed 5,000 of them. Jesus has walked across the lake. They have gotten there. They have asked. Jesus comes back and he says, "You only follow me because I fed you." Then he says, "Listen, let me give you something better." They say, "Well, how can we get something better?" He says, "You got to believe on the one he sent." Then they say, "Well, what are you going to do that we may believe?" You get it? Then he says to them, verse 32, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then Jesus said to them, they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. You getting the drift here? They want to be fed. Verse 35, this is the common one. This is the one we always hear. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus identified himself as the bread of life. Jesus portrayed himself as the bread. Now, if you continue reading, and I won't read it here, but let me just give you the story. From verse 41 on, the Jews started looking and thinking in their mind, if this guy is the bread of life, he's saying that we must eat his body and drink his blood. And they started thinking, ew. This guy is not only a little bit loony in the head because he's saying that he is God, he's saying that he's the Son of God, but now he's saying that we should be cannibals. They're saying, ew, this guy is really nasty. Where's this guy going anyway? What is he doing anyway? They started challenging him, not understanding that he was talking about his body. He was talking about the sacrifice of his body. He was talking about his death. And through his death, then we can have life. You see, that's when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, because when you eat the bread of life, when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you have eternal life. You have Jesus in you. You have life. It's accepting Christ into your heart, allowing him to change you. Now, another thing that I will tell you here is that when you accept Jesus Christ, you accept him as your Lord, you accept him as your Savior, and you live according to his principles. And in order to live according to his principles, you must do as he did. We have God, the creator of the universe, the almighty, powerful Jehovah. He sets the example to come down to this planet and live a life of service. He came to serve. And I would tell you this morning that if you have Jesus in your heart and if you have the bread of life in you, then you ought to live like he did. You ought to live to serve. As a matter of fact, I would tell you this morning that if you are not serving, you are not living. And if you're not living, you don't have Jesus in your heart. Because you see, when that bread comes, it satisfies you. It fills you up. It builds you up right, I think they say in some of the commercials. It really brings you to life. We celebrate communion about once every 3 or 4 months to remember the fact that the Almighty, powerful God came and gave his life so that we might have life. This is the essence of communion. The living bread came to give us life. The living bread came so that we might live as he would want us to live. So let me explain a little bit of communion. In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we practice what we call open communion. What that means is that you don't have to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to participate in our communion. You can participate. That's what we call it, open communion. But obviously, you must understand that in order to eat the bread of life, you must first accept the bread of life. So the only thing I would tell you from a biblical perspective is this represents Christ. So in order for you to participate, you must have Christ in you. And that reminds you and makes you remember of the sacrifice that he did. So if for some reason you have not accepted Christ, let me just take a second right now and ask you to just close your eyes. And if you have never, ever, ever, ever accepted Christ, just follow me in your mind by saying, Lord, I come to you realizing that I cannot do anything of my own. I come to you realizing that I am a sinner. I come to you realizing that you are the answer to all of my problems. And I surrender myself to you. I ask you to be the ruler of my heart. I ask you to be the king of my heart. Forgive my sins. Wash away my iniquities. Transform me and accept me as your son. Jesus, come and be the king of my heart. You see, that's what it means to accept Christ in our heart. So if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, I hope that you follow that little prayer with me in your head. Because you see, when we accept Christ, we understand his sacrifice for us. We understand that what he did on that cross means our eternal life. And so we live it. We try to do the best that we can. We try to follow his principles. We try to follow his lifestyle. We try to do the best that we can. Again, let me come back to the servant part. Another thing that we do within the Seventh-day Adventist Church is every time that we do communion, we remember the fact that our Creator came down to serve. And he showed us that example by washing his disciples' feet at the Lord's Supper. So another thing that we practice, and again, you'd be surprised to know that many churches, many, many denominations used to practice the same thing you'll see here this morning, the foot washing. This is the example that Christ left to remind us that we are here to serve. It doesn't matter how high you are, when you forget that you're here to serve, you lose the meaning of life. So we practice foot washing. We wash each other's feet. We serve each other in that sense so that we are reminded of what Christ did for us. Now let me say something else here that I think is important for us. When we serve because God has commanded us to serve. We don't serve because it's convenient to serve. We don't serve because we want to be acknowledged. We don't serve because it's the popular thing to do. We serve because God has commanded us to serve. So I would ask you and I would tell you that if you have Jesus in your heart and if you have the bread of life, you will serve. You will serve perhaps those who have hurt you. You will serve perhaps those who have said mean things about you. You will serve perhaps those who you cannot stand. Not because you are the one doing it, but because Christ is doing it through you, because he's the bread of life in your belly. And he transforms who you are. The bread of life gives you life to serve, to show the example of Christ. So again, two things. The Adventist Church worldwide practices open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of this church. You can participate if you want to. We also practice the foot washing to remind us that we're here to serve, following the example that Jesus Christ did. So at this moment, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to go ahead and end with a prayer and close this part, and then we'll go down and do the foot washing, then we'll come back and do the actual communion. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again that you showed us what it means to have life. And that life only comes through you, Father, through the Son, Jesus Christ, that you spared on the cross for us. Lord, we pray that our life will be transformed by his life. We pray, Lord, that we will live according to his principles. Lord, we pray that we will understand what it meant to go to that hill and die on that cross. I pray that we understand what it did for us, Lord. It bought us. It bought us to a right connection with you. So I pray, Lord, that we will be transformed today. From the inside out, may Jesus reign in our hearts, Lord. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So real quick, we'll go ahead and split here in a second, but downstairs in the main fellowship room, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, I think in the main fellowship floor is going to be couples. In classroom 5, otherwise known as the Mars Hill classroom, there's going to be the ladies, and I think the men get tucked away in the little corner over there by the elevator. So those are the places. If you want to come along and watch, you're more than welcome to come along and watch. If you want to wait here until we come back after the foot washing, then we'll continue. You can wait here. There'll be some music being played along, so you can meditate and pray and have fun that way. But at this point, we will separate and do the foot washing. So let's go do that, and then we'll come back up to continue our service. May God bless you. Let's begin this part of our service with our word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we again just thank you so much that we can remember your sacrifice for us. May it come to life now, Lord, as it transforms our life. May we have eternal life in the gift of your sacrifice, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, when it comes to communion again, we remember specifically what Christ did for us. This is the reason why we celebrate it. This is the reason why we remember it, because we do not want to forget. And sometimes it is easy to forget. And so that's why we celebrate it every 3 or 4 months to keep it special. We don't want to water it down, you know, with doing it every day of our lives either. We do it every day of our lives in the fact that we pray and we reconnect back with God. This is a special service, again, that represents the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us so that we can be reconnected back with our loving Savior. I will have Billy Schiffer, read for us 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24. After he reads it, we will go ahead and bow our heads here for prayer. We would also ask you to bow your heads as we pray for that, and then we will go ahead and serve the bread. So Billy, if you would read it for us, we'd appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let me have you stand up here and we'll go ahead and break the bread. All right. At this moment, I would like to have those that want to participate in this part, and if for some reason you cannot participate in the foot washing, you can still participate in this part. But I would like to have you stand up so that it makes it easier for the deacons to serve. So please stand up as the deacons go out and serve you. Once they have served you, please go ahead and have a seat. And do not eat the bread. We'll eat it all together. Once you've been served, please go ahead and sit down so that the deacons will know whom they need to serve still. All right, has everyone been served? Okay, I think most everybody has been served, so we're still finishing up on that. Just a quick clarification, what you have in your hand is a symbol of the body of Christ. It is not the literal body of Christ. It is a symbol that represents the body of Christ, transforming and, of course, coming into our life and changing our life according to His will. So meditate up on that. I think everyone has been served. Okay, we'll have the deacons approach. Reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 26. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Take and eat. At this moment, I'd like to have Jim come up and read for us 1 Corinthians 11, 25 and 26, a scripture regarding the wine, and then he will go ahead and have the prayer for us. And again, as soon as we're ready for the prayer, just bow your heads. Amen. Okay, we'll follow the same procedure. Again, just please stand up so the deacons will know whom to serve. Once you've been served, again, please have a seat so that they know who still needs to be served. How you doing? Again, as the bread represents the body of Christ, the wine, which in the Greek and the Hebrew, wine could either mean a cluster of grapes or fermented wine. The wine that we're talking about here is the new wine. This is the wine that represents the pure and holy blood of Christ. So what you have in your hands is grape juice, 100% new grape juice, not fermented, because it represents the blood of Christ that transforms our body. So meditate on that as we receive. Everyone being served, I hope, because we're all here now, so. Reading this time from Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 and 28 this time. It says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink from it, all of you." You should have little pockets or little holes in the pews. You can set the little cups there for you. We can now say, without a doubt, that Christ lives in our heart. We can now say, without a doubt, that Christ is in our hearts. And it's always good to have this renewing, because it reminds us of our commitment to Christ. But more than anything, it reminds us of the commitment that Christ has said to us, the commitment that Christ has done for us. So we thank him. We praise him. We give him the glory, because it is through him that we can achieve salvation. So pray with me as we close this part of the service. Our Father in heaven, we again just thank you so much that we can stand in the presence of the Almighty Father, covered by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we stand perfect, not through our means, but through the means that Christ has achieved in us. Oh, we thank you, Father. We pray that as we leave this place today, our hearts and our lives will be transformed in accordance to your will. We thank you so much for the sacrifice that you did for us, and we look forward, Lord, to the day that we can see you face to face, that each one of us will personally take the opportunity to bow down in front of you and say, thank you for giving me life. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to live life to the fullest because of the sacrifice that you, our Savior, Jesus Christ, did for us. We look forward to tell you that face to face, Father, when you come. And we thank you again for all your blessings. Please continue to be with us throughout this day, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll have the deaconess come up. And after they have done their work, we will sing a hymn. Thank you very much. You know, the Bible says that after Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, after they were done, they sang a hymn and walked out of the room where they were. So we're going to do the same thing this afternoon now. We're going to sing a hymn. Jim is going to lead us in hymn number 407. We'll sing it through. It's not 407?
407.
Okay, what did I say?
You're right.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
It's 407. I'm going to have Jan introduce it because it's a very familiar words to it.
Yeah. Also, at the end, when you go out, the deacons will be there to collect an offering. So please remember that too.
Our true faith confessing, the people of God from his dwelling take leave. The supper is ended, all now be extended, the fruits of this service in all who believe. The seed of his teaching, receptive souls reaching, small action, God and for all. His grace did night us, his love shall unite us, the work of God's kingdom, and answer his call.
May the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac bless you. May he give you his loving kindness, mercy, and love. May you leave this place this morning transformed by the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May God bless you, each one. Amen. Amen. Let us depart. You guys go. Thank you so much. Yeah, you're good. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's John. God bless you. I'm gonna have to run because I gotta get to the Pathfinder campout. That's good though. There he is. God bless you, man. Good to see you. Good to see you. God bless you. Good to see you. Thank you for the music. That was beautiful. Appreciate it. God bless you. Let me interrupt there for a second. God bless you. Have a safe trip. We'll be praying for you.
This is the first communion I've been able to sit and enjoy.
Praise the Lord.
About 40 years.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you. You're going to be heading down south for a little bit. You'll continue to be in our prayers. And just know that you're loved and prayed for every day. You're welcome. You're welcome. Ready to go? You tired?
You look tired.
Oh, man. That's not good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. They're good.